wicked, shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. All right. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We welcome you to stand and worship with us this morning. Those watching online, we welcome you to worship with us this morning. All right. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah this morning. Let's start it off right. Come on.
Hey. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Whoa, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here we go. I raise a with everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. Yeah, yeah. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Oh, sing a little louder. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Oh, sing a little louder.
Come on, sing it again. Sing it again. Come on.
Hey, sing a little louder.
Louder than the enemy.
Sing a little louder. Storm louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes.
shout out hallelujah. Come on, somebody give him praise in this place. Hey.
Oh, I raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Somebody give him a praise.
The Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, and his truth endures through all generations. We serve a God whose word never changes, so we can build our lives on all that he is and on all that he said. Christ is our firm foundation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. No, 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 no. He won't. He won't. He won't. No, no.
And I still got joy. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. Faithful through every season. So I would. Come on, if you know it, shout it out.
He won't.
Sanctuary right now, if that's your testimony, I want your hands up in the air to testify that you have not seen God fail yet in your life. Through every situation, he has always made a way. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken. If that's your testimony, give him a praise right now. Come on.
Shadow.
shadow of death. I can fear no evil, cause my house has been gone. You're my loving shepherd, I'm safe. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, God.
Service, we would invite our prayer partners to come to the front of the stage. And if you are here and in need of prayer, we invite you. Don't be shy. We want to pray with you and agree with you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Strength, and if
pray something like that, it's dangerous. But it's so worth it. Every minute. God, you can have everything. I lay it all down. If that's you this morning, I want you to sing this, and I want you to put your arms out and worship the King of Kings like you mean it this morning. Come on.
I'll give you all of my worship. Full fire, come consume it. Give you all of my worship. Full fire.
You can sense it in here, but there's a sense of, there's a presence of freedom here. There's like I sensed it when I walked in this morning that there's freedom here, but you have to receive that freedom. You can't be chained worried about what everybody else is thinking. If you raise your hands or if you shout and sing and dance before the Lord, it's for you. It's what you've been praying for. It's what you've been longing for. It's from the desire your heart, but you got to open up and receive it this morning. It's here. It's here. Thank you, Lord. Nothing less than all my Jesus Christ. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We praise your mighty name. We thank you for healing in this room, for freedom in this room, for debts canceled in this room, sicknesses and diseases broken in this room. We thank you, Father God, that you are breaking chains even now. We thank you, God. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Wonder working power.
There is power in
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power
in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain,
yeah. Break every chain, break every chain, break every
voice of the Holy Spirit saying that this past year there has been much prayer that has gone up in the lives of my people. Much prayer that has gone up. Much battle that has been done. Much warring in the Spirit, says the Lord. But I have news for you, that you are going to begin to walk in the victories which you have prayed over, which you have fought over. You're beginning to walk in the victories, says the Lord. I see us in a boat, just like when Jesus was in the boat crossing to the other side, and the disciples were distressed because of the storm, but Jesus was asleep. But he says, I'm telling you that in the months to come, it's going to be you that are asleep in the boat, because the storms of life are not going to bother you. They're not going to worry you. They're not going to keep you awake at night. You are going to have perfect peace, and you are going to go to the other side, says the Lord. And it's going to be a smooth journey, and it's not going to be a battle. It's going to be a victory, because the victories have already been won in the spirit realm, and now you're going to begin to walk out the victories which you've already contended for, says the Lord. I receive that. Say, I receive that. I receive that. I receive some smooth sailing. I receive some easy waters. I receive some victories to my prayers, some answers. Thank you, Father. And the Holy Spirit says, what you've been worrying over, that person you've been thinking about, that situation that has been on your mind continually, why don't you just let it go? Because you've placed it in my hands, so let it go. You've put it in my hands, so let it go. Do you think I'm able? Do you think I'm willing? Do you think I'm capable? Well, if you think I'm capable and you think I'm willing and you think I'm able, then just let me do it, says the Lord. Just let me do it. Just stand by and watch and see what I will do on behalf of my children, says the Lord. My arm is not shortened. My arm is not shortened. I have not lost my power. I'm more than able to do everything I told you I would do. And so as you put your trust in me, just know that I am working. You can sleep peacefully, says the Lord. Sleep in peace, says the Lord, as I work on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want some smooth sailing. I'm ready for some. How about you, Tina? You ready for some smooth sailing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, family. Good to see you in church today. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them you're glad to see them. God. Well, happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those watching online. Thank you for joining us, and for our cameraman right behind there. I see a thumbs up from behind that camera. Welcome to those watching online. We're glad you participating in online church today. Pray that you get everything it is that you need from the Lord. We have people that watch on Facebook Live, on Ascend Church Jupiter, on YouTube, that watch on our website, it's ascendchurch.us, and on our mobile app. So welcome to you. We're glad that you're participating in the service today. I pray that you get everything that you need from the Lord, and I hope you heard that word, that God has some smooth sailing, and you can rest in the fact that He's working on your behalf. Amen. That's good news to me. Praise God. Well, welcome to each and every one. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. Do we have anyone who's visiting for the first time today? No, I don't think you're here for the first time. God bless you. Come on, give him a great welcome. So glad that you're here today. Wonderful. And thank you, Shanta. Oh, we've got... Thank you. In there, we ask if you just take a moment and fill out a guest card. Just drop it in the offering bucket. Thank you for doing that. And praise God, we are going to receive our offering right now. And it's our opportunity to give into the kingdom of God, which I love and I find. You know, Jesus said when they asked him, they said, Lord, how should we pray? And he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is of primary importance. Amen. And to me, giving is extending the kingdom of God. That's what we talk about when we talk about extending. There's so many ways we do it, but giving is one of the ways. I just want to read a passage from Deuteronomy, which the Lord really put on my heart as we prepare to give. And in Deuteronomy 8, this was instruction as the children of Israel came out of Egypt. It says, For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. Sounds like a good place, right? Especially after being in the desert. It's a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. Verse 10, when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in Egypt. Remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you the power to be successful. The new International Version says he gives you the ability to produce wealth in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So I love this because God gives them this great promise that they're going to come into a place of plenty, that he's going to bless them. Do you know God is always promising us? He's always got good things ahead of us, right? But he also gives us an instruction. He says, when he blesses you, don't forget the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. And I heard someone say this week, and it really struck me because he said, many people look at the Bible as a book of promises. They just want the promises. Give me the promises. Give me the promises. But the Bible is not just a book of promises. It's a book of covenant, right? And covenant implies two sides to it, right? It's not just God, give me, I need this, do this for me, do that for me. It's what's my part to play in it. And so he's saying, yes, God's going to bless you. Yes, God wants to take care of you. But don't forget your part in all of this. Amen? And it's a covenant. And so we take pleasure in honoring God with our tithe. He says, honor me. Put me first. Show me that I'm first in your life. So we honor God with the first tenth. And we are open to be generous when he tells us, give over and above. We are open to do that because we're in a covenant. We're not just saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. We're just saying, Lord, what do you want from me? And God always rewards our faithfulness. Amen. And so as you prepare to give, there's envelopes in the seats where you are. There's various ways that you can give. Those that are watching online, it's really simple. You can give. You can press the give button right there on Facebook Live, or you can go to ascendchurchjupiter.us and you can just give there securely. And we are thankful. We thank every faithful tither and giver in the this church. That's the reason we're able to reach out to so many people each week and minister to them and extend the kingdom of God. And we got some good things in store this year. So thank you for your faithfulness. And as you prepare yourself, the ushers will pass by the offering buckets. And I just want to remind you of let me just say this. When it comes to giving by Zelle or Cash App, there's no fees attached to that. When we give online, it's very convenient and it's great. But if you're able to give by Zelle or in person in church or by Cash App, that saves the ministry a whole lot of fees that we don't have to pay if we don't, you know, better not to, right? So that's the preferable way. So thank you for doing that. Just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. First one is that you may know God. Second of all is that you would find freedom. We were talking about breaking every chain. That's what God does. He breaks chains. I believe through this first month, these first 3 weeks, we're going to see some big chains broken. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, ushers.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Glad you're in God's house. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of the year. So if you weren't here last week, let me just say Happy New Year to you. Amen. And why don't we stand up one more time? And let's just sing a little bit more before we get into God's word today. Just as you stand, just lift your hands to the Lord and worship Him from your heart. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus Himself said that the Father is seeking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is looking for worshipers. And when we talk about the Lord breaking chains in your life, let me tell you that it is worship that causes those chains to be broken. When you worship God, He responds every time. There is no higher form of faith than to worship God in the midnight hour, when you don't see a way out, but you lift your hands and you say, I will praise Him. I will worship You, Lord. That's what causes chains to be broken. That's what causes God to go to battle on your behalf. So sing it one more time. Let's worship Him.
Will be a living sacrifice, oh, my heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
Oh, I will be a living sacrifice, yeah. Oh, and I will.
Whom you sent to this earth to redeem us. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, whom you've given us to empower us, to enable us, to guide us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place today. We look to you. Holy Spirit, I'm trusting and depending upon you. I'm not trusting in my own abilities, Lord. I'm looking to you. Thank you, Father, for your anointing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to every heart. Thank you for anointing your word today. Thank you for burning out of us everything that is not pleasing to you. Let your fire fall upon us today, Holy Spirit. Have your way in our life. And Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor for everything that is said and done this year in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Turn again to someone and welcome them. Tell them you're glad they're here this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you to our worship team. Do a wonderful job. Amen. When you came in this morning, you received some of these handout invitation cards. You should have received 7. I wanted each person to have 7 of these cards. 7's God's number, right? Did you know that? So if you didn't get 7 of these cards, please hold your hand up now. Dimini's going to help. If you didn't get 7 of these cards, hold your hand up. We want to make sure that everybody has them. Over the month of December, I taught a series called The Rescue, and it was all about the fact that Jesus has rescued us, and he's called us to rescue other lost people. How many of you know there's a lot of lost people in the world today? How many of you know there's a lot of lost people around us that don't know Jesus? These are not trick questions. We're aware of this, right? And so I was teaching about the rescue and taught you really how to share your faith, how to share the gospel. And all of that is on our app. You can watch all those. I think there's 4 parts to it. But we also said that, you know, God's called us to reach out and rescue people, bring people to Christ corporately as a church, as well as individually in our own individual lives. And so this year, we're going to have several soul-winning events. These are events that are going to be focused at inviting and bringing someone who doesn't know Jesus to that event. And the first one is going to be on February the 5th with Bill Weiss. Now, Bill Weiss has been to our church a number of times, but it's been a while. I don't think that he's preached at the church in about 5 years, maybe 6 years, that he hasn't been here. And so Bill is a good friend of ours, he and Annette, his wife, and he had an experience where the Lord took him out of his body, his spirit, and went and showed him hell. And he saw hell. He was in hell for 23 minutes. And then he wrote a book. The Lord told him to write the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. And that book, even though Bill was an unknown author, was his first-time author, that book became a New York Times best-selling book, sold millions of copies. And since that time, Bill now, he was a realtor, a very successful realtor, but he's traveled really full-time pretty much, telling the story all over the world. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have come to Jesus. And so Bill's going to be with us on February the 5th. Can we just watch that video? We have a 30-second video. So we need volume. Go back to the beginning of the video.
Hi, my name is Bill Weiss, and I'm the author of the book 23 Minutes in Hell. I will be speaking at Ascend Church in Jupiter, Florida on Sunday, February 5th at 10 a.m. I will be sharing an out-of-body experience that God gave me where He actually took me to hell. You will hear how horrifying hell really is, but more importantly, the scriptures that verify what I saw. Please invite those who are skeptics or those who do not believe in God or hell. Now, I look forward to seeing you there.
Now, praise the Lord. We are going to take that video and we're going to put it on television. We're going to run that commercial. We're going to run it on social media. But I pray that it will reach people. But let me tell you, the greatest way of reaching people is you. There is no better, there is no more effective way of reaching the lost and bringing people to church than you. Can you say amen? Say that's right. So what I'm asking you to do is, I'm going to ask you to take these 7 cards, and every day this week, I want you to invite one person. Or you could invite 7 in one day. But by the time you come next Sunday, I would love if all of us had handed out and invited 7 people to come to church. Now, we've printed 2,000 of these invites. I am praying and believing that we will, as a church, invite 2,000 people. Amen. And so what you do is when you invite them, there's a little, the little yellow part is a tear-off. It's perforated. So what you do is if you're talking to someone and you invite them to come to this event, then you tell them, listen, I'd love you to be my special guest, my VIP guest. You write their name on that card. It says, who are you inviting? You write their name and then you tear off. I don't even want to tear. I don't want to waste a card. This could be a person. This could be a soul saved from hell. So you, once you've written their name, you just tear off the card and you let them keep the piece that says 23 minutes in hell. And you bring that little yellow tear-off section. And we have a board out there in the lobby. I don't know if you noticed it when you came in. But the big gray boards and it says Bill Weiss, 23 minutes in hell, Sunday, February 5th. You bring that little tear-off piece and we're going to have some tape and you tape it to the board. And every Sunday, as a church, we're going to pray for those people. We're going to cover them in prayer. We're going to pray every week that they will come because the enemy is going to try and stop them. You know, sometimes you invite, how many of you know you invite people to church, they say, yeah, I'll come, and then they don't come. Why? Because we're in a spiritual warfare. That's why there's a battle for the souls of men and women. And so we want to cover them in prayer. Every week for the next 4 weeks, really, starting today, We're going to be praying over those people. And we did this before, a few years back, exactly the same thing. And we had 1,000 people that attended, though. We had 5 services filled when we were back in Maplewood Plaza. So I'm believing that we are going to, why are we doing this? We want to see people saved. We don't want people to go to hell. And hell is real. There are people right now going into hell, even as we sit here. So will you get behind this? Will you do it? Will you invite someone? Will you reach out? Because we want to obey the commands of Jesus. We want to reach people. We want people to be saved. We also want our church to grow. And this is how you do it. And I want you specifically, don't target people from other churches. Target lost people. Focus on lost people. Sinners, get me some real good sinners. Or some real bad sinners. But that's what we're focusing on. Amen. 23 minutes in hell. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Last Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, I spoke about first things. And we said last Sunday that as we go into this new year, we need to put God first and we need to keep God first. We need to seek God first. We need to love God first. We need to seek His kingdom first. We need to put God first in our life. Because Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, then everything else you need will be given to you. That's how it works. You can seek after the things and not get them, and seek after God, and God brings the things to you. So today, I want to speak about the breakthrough power of fasting. We're going to be starting out this year, starting tomorrow, with a 21-day fast and pray, starting tomorrow. So I want to share with you, why should you fast and pray? When you understand the breakthrough power of fasting and prayer, I believe it will inspire you to want to fast and pray. So in Matthew, we see the power of fasting in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 10, just a few chapters before, Jesus had given his disciples the power to cast out demons and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And for the most part, they were successful. And, you know, people were healed and people were set free. But then they encountered a very serious case. It was a demon. It was a young boy possessed by a demon, and they couldn't heal him. So the boy's father went to Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 17, in verse 14, he said, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, and he often falls into the fire and into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless, say faithless, and perverse, say perverse. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Do you know that many people's problems are caused by demons? Then the disciples came to Jesus and privately, and they said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So there are some breakthroughs that only happen through fasting and prayer. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? And we're going to start out this year with a time of fasting and prayer. Because I really believe that fasting and praying is the fast track to see breakthroughs in your life. In verse 17, Jesus identifies two problems with the disciples' inability to heal and help this boy. He said, first of all, they were faithless. Now, that means they were not connected to God as their singular power source. Faithless, you see, faith is built by connection with God. Faith is built by hearing the word of God. Faith is built by spending time with God. And while their intentions were good, the disciples had drifted in their faith, and it was likely because of the second problem Jesus identified. They were too connected to the world. He said to them they were perverse. He said, oh, faithless, not connected to God, and perverse generation. The word perverse means corrupted. And if you read the New Living Translation, it actually uses that word, oh, faithless and corrupted generation. It's when we have too much of the world in us, we can become corrupted. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he said this to them. He said, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Do you know there's a lot of Christians that are still worldly? Amen. They live like the world. Amen. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly and acting like mere humans, like unsaved people? The Passion Bible says you are living your lives centered on yourselves, dominated by the mindset of the flesh, and behaving like unbelievers. Now, how many of you know God doesn't want us to be behaving and acting like unbelievers, people who have not been saved and redeemed? He wants us to put Him first and to be led by the Holy Spirit instead of being led by our flesh. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, we don't realize just how connected to the world we are and how much that connection corrupts us. People miss God's best in their life because they allow their body to dominate them. If their body doesn't feel like going to church, they don't go to church. They do what their body tells them to do. There are people not here today. There are people that are not here this morning who told me, I'll see you Sunday. I'll see you Sunday, Pastor Steve. And they're not here. Why? Because their body told them, don't go to church, and they do what their body says. This is why so many Christians are not walking in victory in their life. They're not being led by the Holy Spirit. They're not even hearing His voice. They're not experiencing God's best because they let their body, their flesh, make the decisions. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity if you let your body rule your life. Jesus told the disciples that that is the reason they couldn't cast out that demon, was because they were disconnected from God and too connected to the world. And Jesus said this at a time they didn't have nearly as many worldly distractions as we have today. They didn't have Facebook, Instagram, social media, television, right? They didn't have any of that stuff. We have much more distractions today. And Jesus gave us the solution to overcoming these two big problems, and it applies to us today just as much as it did to them. Jesus revealed how we can get more connected to God and get disconnected from the things of this world. I'm talking about sinful, wrong influences of this world. And it is through fasting and prayer. This kind doesn't come out but by fasting and prayer. You see, prayer connects you to God. Prayer restores our intimacy with God, our reliance on God. And fasting disconnects us from the world and its temptations and its distractions and its appeals to our fleshly desires. Fasting disconnects you from that. Fasting is a discipline in which we push away the things of the flesh and we embrace the things of the Spirit. Now, even the Apostle Paul struggled with his flesh. If you struggle with your flesh, welcome to the club. Even the Apostle Paul did. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the thing, do not do what I want to do, but the evil, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." So Paul evidently had something of a struggle with his flesh. Are you with me this morning? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, "I subdue my body and I get it under my control. My body wants to do things that I don't want to do, but I bring my body under control." How did he do it? Well, one way is he fasted often. Paul mentioned this when he spoke about all the things he endured for the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, he said, "In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often." Paul the Apostle said that he fasted often. I wonder why. See, the issue is our flesh, our carnal nature. It's sinful desires. And fasting requires us to starve our flesh and put it to death. I don't mean literally, but I'm saying you control, subdue your body. See, by temporarily denying our flesh, we awaken our hunger for spiritual things. In the process of suppressing and starving your flesh by fasting, your spirit gets stronger and rises up and begins to dominate and take control of your flesh. Amen. Just as prayer strengthens your connection to God, the more you pray, the more you're going to be close, more closely you'll be connected to God. Fasting weakens your body and your soul's worldly desires. You see, whatever you starve dies, and whatever you feed thrives. If you imagine your spirit and your flesh like two dogs in a fight, picture your spirit man as one dog and your flesh as another dog, and they're in a fight. Who's going to win? Whichever dog you feed the most. Amen? Fasting is starving the one dog, the flesh, and feeding the other dog, your spirit. So you see, when there's a conflict between the two, your spirit man will be mighty and your flesh man will be weak. Too many Christians, their flesh is big and their spirit is weak. If you learn to keep your body under the subjection of your spirit, you will win in life. You will grow to maturity. You will experience everything God has for you. Let me tell you, fasting and prayer is one of the best ways to do it. And even if you're a young person, I mean, if you're 18, 19, 20, let me tell you right now, your youth is the most important time to learn how to fast and pray and crucify your flesh, because your flesh is the strongest in your youth. You do not have to let your body dominate. In Romans 8, verse 12, it says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means if God's children are only the ones who are led by the Spirit. If you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you are not behaving like a child of God. Many people think that fasting and praying is just for, you know, certain people, like hardcore believers living in remote places. But fasting is a fundamental spiritual discipline for all believers who are seeking more of God. Fasting takes our faith to another level. It increases the effectiveness of our prayers, and it brings us closer to God. It also causes you to more fully experience your freedom in Christ. Often people come to me as a pastor because they're struggling in their faith and they want advice. Sometimes people are bound by addictions to food, drugs, sex, gambling, pornography, shopping, all kinds of things. Some people get stuck. They can't understand why they're not growing in their walk with God. You see, fasting weakens your body and its appetites so that we can keep our eyes on Jesus. Fasting is about less of us and more of God. Now, this is a big contrast to the constant messages we hear in today's society. Fasting denies the things that our flesh craves, like food, alcohol, anything we use for pleasure or distraction. Fasting denies that. And when we suppress those cravings and appetites and we force our bodies to yield to our spirit, we create space for drawing closer to God, aligning our heart with His. And when we're aligned to the Lord, we have full access to His unlimited power through the Holy Spirit, including the power to overcome those stubborn, sinful areas that continue to try and hold us back. So why should you fast? Well, number one, fasting connects you to God and disconnects you from the world. Number two, fasting brings your body under subjection to your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Number three, Jesus fasted and He expects you to fast. In Luke chapter 4 verse 1, it says, from the moment of His baptism, Jesus was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He was taken by the Spirit from the Jordan into the lonely wilderness of Judea to experience the ordeal of testing by the accuser for 40 days. He ate no food during this time, and He ended His 40-day fast very hungry. And verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went throughout all the surrounding regions. Now notice, Jesus, after fasting in the wilderness for 40 days, He comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's when His ministry begins. Jesus started doing miracles. And Jesus expects us to fast. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, Jesus said, it says, John's disciples came in and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. Right? Jesus said that we will fast. Fasting was a vital part of the New Testament church. They fasted and prayed before they made big decisions and in their daily life. In Acts 13, verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. Do you know that fasting and prayer will launch you into your destiny? I believe that fasting is not an option, or only if you feel like it. But it is a spiritual practice that will strengthen your spirit in a powerful way and dull your appetites for the things of this world. Fasting will supercharge your prayer life with a stronger, more focused connection to God and a looser attachment to the world. Number four, why should we fast? Fasting will bring open rewards in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 16, when you fast, he didn't say if, he said when you fast. Don't look somber as the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. I'm not fasting to impress anybody. I'm not fasting so you can say, whoa, Pastor Steve, you know. No, I'm fasting because I want God's rewards in my life. Amen. Fasting brings open rewards. Isaiah 58 is called the great fasting chapter in the Bible because it reveals many benefits and blessings and rewards that come for fasting, with, you know, when you fast and pray. And I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter, let me read a few verses. Isaiah 58, verse 6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Fasting will break every yoke in your life. Fasting will break every chain of addiction holding you. Anything that has you bound, addictions, fasting will break those yokes and set you free. Fasting and prayer. Now, when I say fasting, I mean fasting and prayer. I'm not talking about going on a diet here. I'm talking about instead of eating, instead of watching TV, instead of watching social media, I'm going to seek God and pray. Take that time to spend time with the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. If you read on in Isaiah 58 from verse 8, it says, then your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. Fasting brings quick answers to prayer. The Lord will guide you continually. Fasting brings guidance. He will satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. See, fasting brings miracles. Fasting brings healings. Fasting brings quick answers to prayer. Fasting brings guidance. It brings you closer to God. It makes you more aware of spiritual things. It makes you more sensitive to hearing God's voice. It helps you to know God's will. It helps you to put your flesh under. It helps you to break bondages. It helps you to break addictions. It releases God's anointing and favor and blessing in your life. It's the secret to obtaining breakthroughs, open doors, miraculous provision, supernatural favor, fasting and prayer. There's amazing the benefits that happen when you seek God in fasting and prayer. Number six, fasting brings breakthroughs. It brings victories. It brings supernatural power in your life. We already looked at the young boy who was possessed by a demon, and that fasting brought a breakthrough in his life that didn't come any other way. But if you look, there's many places in the Bible where you see the power of fasting and prayer. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, three armies came to attack Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, and the tribe of Judah. It was such a great army that they were terrified. I mean, they didn't know what to do. It looked hopeless. They didn't see any way out. What did they do? It says in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, in verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat feared. What did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. What are we going to do? It looks hopeless. Let's all fast and pray and see what happens. What happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon a man by the name of Jehaziel, and the Lord began to speak through this man. He said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this mighty army. The battle's not yours. The battle is God's. Just stand still and watch. The Lord's going to give you victory in this battle. The next day, when they marched into the battle, the king, King Jehoshaphat, he put singers and musicians at the front of the army. And when they marched into the army, marched into battle, they were singing. Verse 22, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So that when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Now what happened? God fought their battle. What did they do? They fasted and prayed. It brought supernatural victory and breakthrough. In Judges chapter 20, the Israelites were fighting against the tribe of Benjamin, one of the tribes of Israel, because some of the tribe of Benjamin had raped a Levite's wife. Levite is a priest. And they refused to turn the man over for justice. So all the other tribes of Israel came against the tribe of Benjamin. And the first day, 22,000 Israelites died in battle. On the second day, 18,000 Israelites died in battle. So what did they do? Judges 20:26. Then all the Israelites went to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until the evening. The next day, God gave them the victory. The next day, after losing 22,000 and 18,000, then they fasted the one day, and the next day God gave them the victory. Let me tell you, if you want to access the supernatural realm and walk in spiritual power and authority and breakthrough and blessing, you must fast and pray. Some breakthroughs do not happen without it. If fasting's not important, why does the Bible mention it over 70 times? Why did Jesus fast for 40 days? Why did Paul the Apostle fast for 14 days? Why did Moses go up there 40 days? If you want to live just an ordinary, powerless life, eat up, baby. Go ahead, eat up. But if you want to see supernatural breakthroughs in your life, then fasting is essential. Fasting proves to God that I'm serious. I'm taking consecrated time to push away food and instead to seek after God so that I can attain spiritual power where demonic forces that hinder other people have to bow down to me and they can't hurt me, they can't hinder me. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to consecrate himself with fasting and prayer, how can we, who are not the Son of God, we were not born of a virgin, we were not conceived by the Holy Spirit, we do not live a sinless life, we are just regular people saved by the grace of God, how can we think we don't need a fast and pray? I don't need a fast and pray, Pastor Steve. If Jesus had to consecrate himself in fasting and prayer to see what he saw, how can we expect to see what he saw without doing what he did? Number seven, fasting brings financial breakthroughs and blessings. Can I tell you, I'm believing for some financial breakthroughs and blessings this year. Somebody is going to write a check for $3 million and pay off this building this year. I'm believing for financial breakthroughs in this church. Anyone else believing for that? In the book of Joel, they were in a financial crisis. I mean, it was a famine. Locusts had devoured all the crops, all the vegetation. So what did Joel do? Joel 1 verse 14 says, announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to him there. What happened? Joel chapter 2 says, the Lord will reply, look, I am sending grain and new wine and olive oil enough to satisfy your needs. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. And the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the locusts. And once again, you will have all the food you want. And you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Can I tell you, fasting and prayer will bring financial miracles in your life. I'm believing for some financial miracles in your lives, in this church, in my life, in 2023. How about you? God did a financial miracle for them. He turned their financial situation around because they fasted and prayed. Because fasting releases financial blessing in your life. Amen. Are you in need of a healing? Are you in need of a miracle? Do you need a fresh encounter with God? Is there a dream inside of you that only God can fulfill? Do you desire a deeper, more intimate, and powerful relationship with the Lord? Do you want to hear God's guidance more clearly in your life? Do you need a breakthrough? Do you want to break away from bondages that have been holding you back? Or maybe you have a loved one or a friend who needs salvation. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Then I encourage you to join us and fast and pray. Start out the year with fasting and prayer. We're going to start this year with 21 days of fasting and prayer. Now, I'm not saying you have to fast 21 days. I'm saying that we're going to be fasting for the next 21 days. And I encourage you to join us and fast and pray with us, at least some of that time. Because we want to give to God the first of our time and our attention at the beginning of a new year. What you do at the beginning of the year sets the tone for the rest of the year. When you seek God in fasting and prayer at the beginning of the year, you see blessings poured out in your life all the way through the year. Amen. When you fast and pray, I encourage you, make a fasting goal list. Believe God for specific, to answer and to meet specific needs in your life. You need to make a list. What are you trusting God to do in your life this year? And when you fast and pray, Lord, I thank you. I'm believing for you to do these things in my life. Are you with me? Now, there's four different types of fast. First of all, there's a total fast, and that is, that's the way Jesus fasted, and that is you don't eat any food. You just drink water. Total, complete fast. Secondly, there's a selective fast. Now, this fast involves removing certain foods from your diet. And I think probably the best example of this fast is the Daniel fast, that where you only eat vegetables and fruits and grains, no sugar, no meat, no alcohol, no dairy. Daniel chapter 10 verse 2 says, I, Daniel, was mourning, which is another word for fasting, for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth. So Daniel just ate vegetables and fruits and grains, no pleasant food, no meat, no alcohol, no sugar. That's a Daniel fast. And after Daniel had been fasting for 21 days, an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to him in Daniel 10 verse 12, he said, don't be frightened, Daniel, for your request has been heard in heaven and was answered the very first day you began to fast. The very first day you began to fast and pray for understanding before the Lord, I was sent that day to meet you. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Do you know that there are demonic spirits operating in the world? Then Michael, one of the archangels of the heavenly army, came to help me so that I was able to, say it with me, break through. I was able to break through these spirit rulers of Persia. Break through. Fasting brings breakthroughs. Amen. Fasting destroys demonic forces that are trying to block God's will for my life. There was an evil spirit, a demonic ruler, that tried to block the answer to Daniel's prayer. But because he kept on fasting and praying, that blockage was removed. What would have happened, I wonder, if Daniel had quit on day 7? See, it's not that you have to convince God to answer your prayer. If there were not any demonic spirits, the fast wouldn't be necessary. If it wasn't for the fact that we live in a fleshly body and there's demonic spirits in the world, you wouldn't need to fast and pray. We're not going to be fasting and praying in heaven. Fasting is to unleash breakthrough power. To break through things that are hindering you from God's plan, from God's purpose, from God's blessing. Many people don't understand this. When they pray for something, if it doesn't happen immediately, or when things don't work out the way they want, they often blame God. Well, God must not have saw fit to bring it to pass. No, they are demonic forces that are designed to hinder your advancement. But fasting destroys those demonic forces who try to block God's will for your life. I don't know about you. I want everything God has for me, man. I don't want that. Devil's not going to hold back anything that God has in my life. And if it means taking a couple of weeks and fasting and praying, it's worth it to have breakthroughs and blessings and favor and freedom in my life. How about you? Let me tell you, I like eating as much of any as I like eating as much as any of you. Maybe not as much as any of you. No. I love eating. I like good food. We like eating good food, man. But I tell you right now, I'm excited. I'm excited to start fasting tomorrow. Never thought I'd ever say that. I never thought I'd say that. But I'm excited. You know why? Because I'm excited to see what God's going to do as we fast and pray as a church. I'm excited to see that. Powerful things are going to happen this year. Let me tell you, as we fast and pray, powerful things are going to happen. We're going to see more of God's power break forth in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our city, in our nation. Amen. I believe we're going to see many people get saved this year. I believe we're going to see God, the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit and miracles taking place. I believe we're going to see financial miracles happen in our life. And then you have, you have a total complete fast. You have a selective fast. And then you have number three, a partial fast. And that involves fasting certain meals. I mean, you may fast all day and just eat one meal at night. Now, this type of fast has become pretty popular because people have discovered intermittent fasting. You ever heard the term intermittent fasting? It's like the new fad diet because it works. I'm talking about losing weight. Intermittent fasting. Now listen, it's great. You know, the health benefits of fasting. Fasting is actually good for you. We were told, they told me when I was a young Christian, fasting was bad for you physically. But it's actually good for you physically. They're discovering this. But listen, that's not what motivates me to fast. What motivates me to fast is I'm seeking a deeper connection to God. We need to have a spiritual motive for fasting. Don't fast, I'm going to fast, Pastor. I need to lose a few pounds. You will lose a few pounds, but that's not the reason we're fasting. Amen? Then the fourth kind of fast is a soul fast. And this is fasting your soul of the comforts and the pleasures and the preoccupations that usually fill your time and attention. And anything that fits in this description can be put aside for your fast. Like social media. You may say, I'm not going to look at social media for the next week or two or three. Or maybe television, movies, video games. The goal is to move away from life as usual and your default method of zoning out, which you usually do, and move toward God, using that time for prayer and reading your Bible or watching Christian shows. I mean, listen, if you want to watch, you know what I encourage you to watch? If you want to watch TV when you fast and pray, watch this, The Chosen. Watch this series called The Chosen. We're on season three. There's a lot of good. You can watch preaching. You can watch Christian movies, right? That's what I encourage you to do. Now listen. I don't want nobody under any pressure. Don't feel any pressure to do what other people are doing. Your fast is between you and God. Okay. Remember though, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the results. So I'm not telling you. You need to decide between you and the Lord whether you're going to do a total fast, selective fast, Daniel fast, partial fast, soul fast. But I would encourage you to do something. Do something to draw closer to God at the beginning of this year and watch what happens. Now, for the next 21 days, I'm going to do the selective fast. I'm going to do the Daniel fast. Because for me, not to eat meat is torture. For Carol, it's easy. She doesn't eat meat anyway. Leo, you and me. So for me to eat vegetables for 21 days, Lord, you know the sacrifice. I'm going to do the Daniel fast, and I'm also going to fast TV and movies, and I'm going to watch Christian stuff. I'm going to watch preaching. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read Christian books. I'm going to seek God for the next 21 days because I want everything. I want everything God has for me, and I want everything God has for our church. I want you to know I'm fasting and praying not just for me. I'm fasting and praying for you. Amen. So I want to encourage you. How many people say, Pastor Steve, I'm going to join you. I'm going to fast. I'm going to start out the year fasting and praying. Are you going to do it? If you are, wave your hand at me. Maybe hand it me. Okay. Now, I want to encourage you to go onto our website or our app and register to fast. I've already registered. Do it today. You will receive notifications every day. I'm going to send you out an encouragement. I'm going to send you out scriptures. I'm going to send you out. Every day there's going to be to encourage you in your fast. We'll be posting these things on Facebook. We'll be posting them on our app. So that every day you'll hear from us as like, you know, day one, this is what happens when you fast. Here's the scripture. Here's a prayer. Just a little bit of an encouragement. But of course, man, you know, you can research all this stuff. If you're not sure what to eat on the Daniel fast, research it. I mean, there's a million things you can read about the Daniel fast. Amen. Also, we're going to be praying every Thursday during the fast. Now, usually we pray every other week, but we're going to pray every week. For the next 3 weeks on Thursday, we are going to gather and we're going to pray. And I would really encourage you, if you're fasting and praying, be there. Makes it easier for you. Be around other people that are fasting and praying. And there is a corporate anointing that comes when you gather with others and you pray and you fast. So Thursday at 7, right? We're going to be here praying. Come join with us. Register to fast on the app or on the website. And I'm starting tomorrow. We're going to start tomorrow, January 9th. And the fast is going to end on January 29th. That's 21 days, if you figure it out. So praise the Lord. Do you receive this today? Now next week, we have sign-up sheets. So we have sign-up sheets in the lobby. If you want to sign up to fast in the lobby, just go fill your name out. There's a clipboard back there, and we'll add you to the list. Now, next Sunday, I'm not going to preach about fasting. I'm going to speak about the word, what the Lord has given Jill and I, the word for our church for this year. I'm going to share with you next Sunday our theme that God has given me for our church for this year. That's going to be next Sunday. No, I'm going to tell you next Sunday. I'm telling you now. I'm giving it for next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be. Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you today that you are so good, Lord. Everything you tell us to do is because you want to bless us. You want to do good things in our life. And Jesus, I thank you today that as we start this year by fasting and praying, putting you first, putting your kingdom first, I thank you, Lord, that we are going to connect with you in a greater way. We're going to disconnect from the things of the world, that we're going to hear your voice more clearly, that we're going to come to know you in a greater way, that we're going to experience greater freedom in our life. We're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see blessings. And we thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, this week for helping us, strengthening us. Thank you, Lord, this week for bringing people across our path that we can invite to come to the Bill Weiss event on February 5th. Thank you, Lord, this week that every one of us, we're going to hand out those cards and we're going to invite at least 7 people this week in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, as we close today, I never like to end the service without giving an opportunity for people who are not sure where they stand with God. I want to pray for you. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, if you were to die tonight, are you sure what would happen to you? Are you sure that you would go to heaven? Would you have to say, Pastor Steve, if I died tonight, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I'm absolutely sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Let me tell you, you can be sure. You can know that without any doubt. You can walk out of here today. You can walk out of here knowing that all is right between you and God, that you have peace with Him, and you can know that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you right where you stand. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right and well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand up high, raise it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I see hands being raised. I want everyone who raised your hand, please say this prayer with me. In fact, let's all say this together with them. The Bible says in Romans 10 in verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you know that you are right with God, by believing that Jesus died on that cross, rose from the dead, and when you confess him, make him Lord of your life, the Bible says you'll be saved. So say this with me, everyone. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to take my sin. I believe, Jesus, you are alive and you are the Lord. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. Say, I declare, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to live for you. Say, I thank you, Lord, that I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so glad. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them God's going to do great things this year. Tell them I'm excited to fast and pray. Sign up. Go to the app. We'll see you next week. Have an awesome week, everybody. God bless. We'll see you next time. Youth is meeting at Ascend Youth at 5 o'clock this afternoon, right? Praise the Lord.